All right. Today is Sunday, the 21st of February, the year of our Lord, 2021. It is currently
8:46 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And
PST.
There we go. And we are
where,
Ferris?
On the Esplanade in South Redondo, California, United States of America, right?
God bless. In North America, in the Western Hemisphere of the planet Earth, the solar system of the Milky Way galaxy of, what universe are we in?
Give our audience the coordinates, okay? Just make it simple, you know?
Longitude and latitude here. All right, so.
Let's get this party started, Luca.
Yeah, we were just discussing the hottest news this week. So there was a United flight that almost disintegrated over, which city was it that it was flying over? Somewhere in the east.
Somewhere small.
Yeah, so this plane took off and then its right engine just broke apart and its insides were completely exposed and it was on fire, but surprisingly still working.
Reliability.
That's American reliability.
So, over Denver.
Oh, Denver. Yeah, so there were like bits and pieces of the plane falling into residential areas.
Which forced the company to ground Boeing 777s.
All of them?
Apparently, that's what CBS News just came out with 2 hours ago.
Prompts company to ground all this 777.
Who makes these engines, by the way? So, Boeing 777s?
Probably Pratt & Whitney.
Pratt & Whitney, Boeing.
Yeah.
Bentley, and then I don't know who else makes those large engines for airliners.
Yeah, so the engine fell apart, and oh my god,
caught fire and still ran.
Caught fire and miraculously still made it back to the ground.
Luckily, they weren't too far. Actually, going off of what I learned when I was becoming a pilot.
There we go.
Even though I am a pilot now,
as a pilot, Ferris, please enlighten us.
When I was learning, the most crucial points were the takeoffs and the landing, obviously. Two of the most difficult things to do, usually. Takeoffs and landings. But on takeoff, having engine failure was one of the most likely times when you would end up in a crash landing or not surviving the landing. Just because you haven't gained enough altitude or speed and you desperately need to at that point in your flight, obviously. Okay. So, very horrible time, very crucial time, and that's exactly when this happened. So, miraculously, everyone was fine. The engine did not give out completely.
Well, I thought it started falling apart when they were already in midair, no?
I thought it was on the takeoff. I thought that's what the article had claimed.
Huh.
But just a little tidbit to add.
Huh, that's interesting.
Huh.
Okay. So, thank you for that little tidbit.
You're welcome.
Senor Fodis. Ferris is, of course, our pilot in residence. We benefit tremendously from his insight into the fantastical world of aeronautical science. Which leads us, of course, to our friends, the Cuomo brothers, at CNN and in the halls of power in New York. So CNN has now barred their Cuomo from interviewing his brother.
Okay.
Because of the latter's mishandling of the nursing home crisis in New York last year. So apparently, Governor Cuomo wasn't as great of a hero as we all thought he was. I mean, remember the media was lionizing him as this great leader, and there were some shortcomings in his policies and resulted in the deaths of many people in the nursing homes, seemingly from neglect.
Gotcha.
So it's interesting, and you know, people make mistakes here and there, and sometimes mistakes are bigger than others, and definitely they should be held accountable. But I think it's interesting how this episode points out how little information or the dearth of reliable information that's available to you when you're in the middle of a crisis, right? There's a lot of stuff floating around, a lot of rumors, a lot of misreporting, you know, news, one news channel saying this, the other news channel saying that. Nobody really knows what's going on.
You don't have the facts.
And then the facts emerge later down the line when everything's kind of settled, right?
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
When the storm has passed, everything becomes clear, right?
That's right. When the devastation, when Katrina has passed and the only thing you've got left is devastation, then everything becomes clear, right?
Yep.
But when you're in the moment, things seem chaotic. It's difficult to pinpoint the truth for what it is.
Definitely.
So yeah, so that's been really interesting. Which leads us, of course, to our beloved national hero, Dr. Fauci, and his recommendation that we wear masks until the year 2040.
Okay. 2023, 2022, I believe.
Or at least 2022 feels like it's 2024.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So he just recommended on CNN that we should just wear masks, triple layer masks, until next year.
Until we also can't breathe through them, right?
Until we're wearing 8 layers in 2025.
I don't know why we're all now just wearing, like, air tanks, you know? We might as well,
have,
right?
Like, the SCBA, like a breathing apparatus.
Exactly.
Walking around in a hazmat suit.
Yep. Oh, even then, we'd still have corona.
Oh, yeah. You know we would.
With us degenerates out here.
That's right. So,
which reminds us of Newsom and his most recent TikToks, right? About
Ferris, please enlighten the audience.
Governor Gavin Newsom and his famous TikToks updating everyone about what's going on with COVID. And I like how he took the approach of using TikTok. You know, he knew he would get the most amount of views, the most amount of attention. He falls within that millennial or what's the generation?
I don't think he falls into the millennium.
No. He's going to get the most of their views.
Oh,
you know, because they're not looking at the news.
Millennial as much as we. Gen Z.
Yeah. There you go. Because he knows they're all on TikTok. And so is all of China as well. Just to make sure everyone's up to date with how our vaccinations are going, you know.
Right.
Making sure that he's doing his job, supervising everything.
And let us not forget that TikTok is China, all right?
Exactly.
So,
and Governor Newsom is our hero now.
You heard it here first, boys and girls. Watch out what you're posting on TikTok.
There you go. That was my disclaimer for
Uncle,
all of you.
Uncle G, Comrade G, is going to be closely monitoring that stuff.
Yep.
When he prepares those re-education camps, and he's got to choose who he wants to re-educate.
Yep.
It looks like there is no foreseeable end in sight for the COVID pandemic. And to be frank, a lot of people seem to be moving on from the crisis. And people are just getting tired of paying attention to what's going on.
Well, just 10 hours ago, pandemic's mental health burden heaviest among young adults 18 to 24.
A young survey according to ADC7.
Yep. So probably not that accurate. But I can definitely vouch for this.
Yeah.
Our generation has been experiencing the most amount of, I guess you can say, backlash emotionally.
Yeah.
And professionally as well, because the job market has been tough, right?
It sucks.
Yep. And how's your emotional health in terms of all the extra added baggage?
I'm good, because I'm fairly insulated from this, in that we both live in a fairly decent neighborhood. And thankfully we have jobs. Well, some of us have jobs. But the unemployment assistance has been tremendous in helping buoy a lot of these foundering families across the country. A lot of struggling families.
Definitely.
Speaking of which, the relief bill that they keep promising.
A new stimmy, right?
Apparently next week.
Is how much?
$1,400 one-time payment.
Nice, okay.
And then promise the $400 weekly payment for on unemployment.
Wow, that's $1,600 a month.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really good. Wow.
Yeah.
It'll definitely get you by if you have a rent around that area, around that, you know, range. It can get you by with some part-time hours as well.
What
maybe.
I'm concerned about, you know? Well, it's not, $1,600 isn't going to cover everything. And what I'm
it's
concerned
not, it's
about,
not, yeah.
that even though there is a moratorium on rent right now,
mm-hmm.
They're not eliminating the debt that you're accruing.
No, it's just piling on.
Right. So people are going to be stacked with these.
They're going to be in the hole regardless, and I don't think people realize that.
Oh, that you're just already, you're just starting to realize that now.
You're digging a hole, really, if you just neglect to put any type
but
of payment towards
if you're,
it.
If you're unemployed, okay, let's say most people who are unemployed are still trying to find, like, have like small-time gigs here and there,
sure,
like
sure,
minimum
sure.
wage jobs. So like on top of the $1,600 a month that you're getting. And of course, LA is a, I mean, we're in a big city, so it's a unique example. But
yeah.
for the most part, people aren't living in LA, right? Or in big cities.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, half the country is, but the other half is still spread out in areas that aren't as expensive, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So $1,600 plus maybe like if you're working at, working at a part-time job.
A few hundred dollars more a month, right?
Oh, definitely more. Like
$1,000 a month?
$1,000 more
okay.
a month.
Okay, so you're at like 2,400.
Let's just round it at 2,500.
2,500. Make
let's
it simple.
Let's say you have a family, like a family of three or four. $2,500 a month. Here, that's probably not enough. That's
Unfortunately, it's not going to cut it for everything.
But in some other places that are a little bit cheaper, in a lot of other places that are cheaper, it is enough to just get you by. You provide that you're on top. Yeah, you have to, but you have to stay on top of those rent payments, or else they keep pushing back, and that debt keeps piling on.
And it's going to be even harder.
I'm concerned about when the moratorium ends, when those landlords start, you know, asking for the rent.
They've already been begging for it to stop because they feel like they're ending up in the hole of everyone else.
You gotta have sympathy for the landlords too, right? They're all losing money. They're hemorrhaging money right now.
Right. Even though they've been hemorrhaging money out of me on all my deposits, even though I returned the house cleaner than I got it, right?
That's right.
I repaint the walls for free. I paid for new carpet. I didn't destroy the carpet. It came destroyed.
What's that rent to buy?
Bastard. Rent to own?
Rent to own.
Or lease to own, or some other to own.
Rent to own. That needs to be a thing.
Honestly, I would love that to be a more like regular system. Yeah. You know, because rent is already expensive. Because when you're renting, you're usually paying for your landlord's mortgage included in that.
Right.
You're paying their mortgage, you're paying their monthly fee, and they're making some commission off of you.
Right.
So they might just be doing really well.
And some of the utilities probably. Typically, like you don't pay all the utility, or sometimes
some places
landlords cover it a little bit.
It just depends, yeah.
Yeah, in my previous apartment, the landlord covered the cost of water.
Nice.
Like hot water, so there was that.
And they usually cover trash as well, right? Trash for apartment complexes,
yeah,
right? Or duplexes or whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are some things that you gain, but more than likely they're making a good amount of money per month off of you. And they're paying for their household or their land, obviously.
Right.
And they're property paying their mortgage, their property. Whatever they're paying, it's coming out of your rental payment. So
it's going to be interesting.
We need to remember that, Luke.
Yeah. I think the moratorium is extending until September.
Yes, I believe. I mean, you got to remember, if we're getting how much is it usually? $1,600? A month, right? 400 times 4. $1,600 a month. If you're getting that for unemployment, remember, that's California's generous amount. That doesn't apply to every single state.
Yeah.
And California is a little bit on the pricier side. So $1,600 here, but it would be great somewhere else. But they're not offering that other places, you know? So it's all relative, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not a standard amount.
Well,
and that's because of the difference in cost of living.
Yeah, I mean, in California, we have, okay, so
there's a huge range, of course.
$1,600, that's nationwide, though.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
For unemployment?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
That's a lot for some places.
If you're in Oklahoma, that's like
$1 million. Really?
Yeah, that's not just California, bro.
Wow, I thought California was just extra generous.
No. This is federal.
The stimmy is also...
Yeah,
nationwide,
all of this is included in the federal bill.
Wow.
Now, California separately has offered to give an additional $300.
Okay, there it is.
For people who are making like less than $50,000, I think.
Yeah.
Who are already...
I knew there was something California-based, because I know California is a little bit more generous, but remember, the cost of living is a little bit higher.
Yeah, Gavin said something about this, like a $9.6 billion stimulus only in California.
Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
California passes its own stimulus plans.
Yeah.
We're such a big economy.
Yeah.
So
tourism, right?
So wait, that would mean that there would be 400 on top of three. That could mean somebody's making 700 a month. If I'm getting
700 a month.
I don't know if. Okay, it's definitely they're trying to pass a bill that the government in California is trying to pass a bill that would add $300 a week on top of the weekly on top of the unemployment payments that you're receiving if you're part of the CalWORKS program.
Okay.
Which is not everybody who's on unemployment.
Gotcha.
Which is a select few.
Gotcha.
Actually don't know what the...
There's a lot of classifications for this. This is complicated
stuff. Because there's EDD, which is the Employment Development Department, which is like everybody who's filed for unemployment because of COVID, they've all gone there. CalWORKS has existed for a long time. That's like the typical like unemployment.
It's called what?
CalWORKS.
CalWORKS.
CalWORKS, okay. Is unemployment. CalFresh is food stamps.
Okay.
And then there's EDD. And that EDD right now, that's what everybody, like the millions of Californians who are applying for unemployment, that's what the program that they're going through. So for the people in CalWORKS, and there's a lot less than there are people in EDD.
Sure.
They're going to be receiving an additional $300 per week, which could mean if it's doubled, if it's coupled with the federal aid, they could be making $600 a week or $700 a week.
Wow, that's $2,800 a month.
Wow. Especially if you're living out like in San Bernardino or some you know, less populated area.
Living in the valley? No, the valley's not like... Maybe inland, further inland. Maybe bordering another state like Arizona or
like
Nevada.
In Chico or like in Merced or something like
that. Yeah, definitely, like that. Definitely, yeah.
Oh my gosh, you'd be making a good chunk.
Yeah. Wow. That is a lot. Now that I think about it, yeah. Wow.
So I guess
the range is also just insane in California. You have a huge wealth gap as well. So
yeah, it's crazy just how far that the $1,400 is going to go in some places,
and how
depending on where you live, right?
And how quickly it'll go in other places, right?
Yeah,
crazy. Like, and we're all under the same roof or umbrella of California,
right? Like you, like okay, let's take a family of four, for instance, here in Los Angeles.
Sure.
The two adults, let's say the mother and father, or the husband and wife, or the two main breadwinners, they both get $1,400. That's $2,800 for just 1 month, and then they get $400 additional per week. So that would mean like $1,600 a month until September, and then just that one time payment of $2,800, right?
Is that sure.
Am I doing my math right? Yeah. So $2,800. That could get them by, but they would still have to work. That's the thing.
It's not going to last forever.
You could apply for food stamps.
Yeah, you could do that as well.
But you can't.
Is that a California thing only as well?
Well, every state has their own food stamps.
CalFresh, I'm assuming if it says Cal something, it means just California, right?
Right, yeah. But every state has its own version of that. Yeah. So
I assume ours is a little bit more generous?
I actually don't know compared to other states.
Gotcha.
Okay. I know that for a single person, it's $200 per month.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not bad, actually. It's pretty good. Like, for one person.
It's how much a month?
$200.
Okay.
$200 a month for one person.
Plus, you're getting your EDD, you're getting...
But here's STEMI. Here's the problem, though. You can't... Okay, you can work and receive unemployment benefits at the same time.
It's but you're going to be under a threshold, I assume?
No. You can't legally. You can't work and be getting unemployment assistance at the same time.
That doesn't make sense, yeah.
Yeah. So, but some people still do it because $1,600 isn't enough to sustain, you know, a four-person family.
Yeah, it's not.
So people are still working on the side. The danger is if the government does their due diligence, and right now that's impossible because there's millions of people who have filed for unemployment. Yeah. If they go looking through your records and they find that you were working, they will ask for every single penny of that assistance back. And, like, I actually know people to whom that has happened. Like, that last year.
Wow.
Yeah, they were working or, you know, they got the numbers wrong and when they're in their unemployment application. And the government actually asked them to return the money that they gave them.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, you can't give back something that's already gone to rent and food or what else.
Well, you're going to have to cough it up eventually.
That's insane.
That's a debt that's not going away.
That's insane.
So, yeah, it's, you know, even though the government's really generous right now with their unemployment assistance, if they catch you doing something wrong, they are not afraid.
Don't abuse it, right?
They're not afraid of asking for every penny of that back, you know?
They're not afraid.
Yeah. So it is a very tenuous situation.
That's the lesson for everyone out there. Don't abuse the little that the government does give you.
Because when the IRS comes knocking down your door,
yep.
When the audit...
You'll see it on your taxes, okay? You will see it come back.
Oh,
it will haunt you.
Gosh. So the relief deal. Hopefully... I saw Ted Lieu, our representative, mm-hmm. in the news on CNN saying... that they are near a compromise. They are nearing a compromise, hopefully sometime next week.
Okay.
All right, so now we turn to another issue that's been exacerbated by the pandemic. A lot of things that have been really exacerbated by the pandemic. And that is the opioid epidemic, right? Mm-hmm. The mental health crisis. All of this is just creating, reproducing itself. It's just compounding each other. And how we are, you know, our generation in particular right now, we're having a tough time. But also the older generations, I mean, the young, the really young and the elderly are suffering a lot for sure. I mean, adults, I mean, also, everybody's suffering. It's just ubiquitous. But I was listening to a podcast today about the opioid epidemic, and we have more people dying from overdose than we have people dying in traffic accidents. It's the third leading cause of death, third leading preventable cause of death in the U.S. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable loss of life. The problem, of course, stems from overprescription of drugs and intense lobbying by the pharmaceutical industry to make these opiates mainstream, available at any clinic where they just, you know, where every doctor actually has to prescribe these drugs, because if they don't, this is really devious how this medical industry works, that if they don't prescribe the opiates, it's considered like a neglect of your responsibilities. So you have people, you know, you got an ankle sprain, they'll give you a bottle of 30 pills of, you know, of opiates, of methadone or something like that, or Oxycontin. And then, you know, it's no wonder why people get hooked onto these drugs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it leads us to an interesting point about the legalization of drugs. Mm-hmm. Do you think all drugs should be legal? Do you think there are drugs that shouldn't be legal?
I mean, our war on drugs will most likely not stop. You know, we took one shot at it with the legalization of marijuana. We saw a decrease, right, in that criminal activity, obviously, because we took that out of the playing field.
Right. The cartels aren't selling marijuana anymore.
Of course. But it's a step in the right direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I just feel like our war on drugs is just not going to stop. You know, at what point do we draw the line, right? What drugs are necessary, what aren't, what should be illegal, what shouldn't be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
What should we even be prescribing, right? Should we be prescribing these bottles of Oxycontin, right? Or Xanax, or whatever else they're using for pain, or, you know?
Yeah.
It's really hard, you know, because some people really need it, some people need to abuse it, some people, you know, it's hard to draw the line. And me not being a medical professional, I don't really have a take on it. Neither of us are. But how do you feel about it?
I think economically they should legalize all drugs.
Legalize everything?
Yeah.
Just excise tax.
And to react so that they can regulate it. You can't. It's hard to.
Well, we're going to regulate it with taxing it.
Right? Well, yeah, there's that. But just bringing it out of the black market.
Yeah.
Squashing out the income stream for these criminal elements that are.
Gotcha.
They're brutalizing all of Latin America, or Central America, rather.
I mean, do we really need all these types of drugs, though? Because if we legalize them all, that means we can provide them all, or, like, they're available.
None of this stuff is really good, but, I mean, opiates came about because it was a substance that was supposed to alleviate pain.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like an anesthetic during surgery and after surgery. So
these
are necessary substances. Of course, you're not to be popping them every morning to start your day with your coffee.
But, yeah.
It is a tricky situation, but one I think that it can be solved by mass legalization. This, you know, it's interesting because also I used to think that we had a problem with opioids, like the opioid epidemic, because people were just suffering in general. Mm-hmm. And they were just trying to find an escape through drugs. And that, while that is partially true because people, you know, who have no medical conditions are still buying opiates and ODing on them, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Because, well, partially because these pharmaceuticals made them widely available. But it is a sign, I think, that something's going wrong with our country, that where people are turning to drugs. Like, there's some sort of, I don't know how to say it, like some sort of decay going on in the
U.S. It's part of the pandemic. We're going to find like, every, we're going to blame everything on the pandemic.
Even before the pandemic, brother.
Yeah, but even more so now, you know? Out of boredom, out of stress, out of depression, out of anxiety.
Yeah.
There's an increased use. There's an increased amount of, I guess, spiraling out of control, right?
Yeah.
So, but the real question is, do we need all these, like, recreational party drugs as well? Like, cocaine, ecstasy. I don't know if you'd consider, like, LSD, shrooms, blah, blah, blah. Things of that nature. Do you consider everything, like, if we legalize it, you know, it puts it on the table, essentially, right?
Why do you think people turn to drugs? To these harder drugs? Not like weed and stuff, but like, or shrooms, but like heroin and cocaine.
I don't know. Never tried it, never did it. Don't know what it feels like, don't know how to use it, blah, blah, blah.
My man.
All the jazz. So I can't really speak on it, but you can tell me about the research that you know about it.
Well, people are typically, don't, you know, people from, who are typically content with their lives are typically, in, you know, stable, although there are exceptions, of course, are typically not turning to these drugs. I think a lot of people in the U.S. are suffering. I think a lot of people are turning to this because they're suffering. And we do have one of the unhappiest developed countries in the world, you know, the U.S., that is.
Yeah.
There's this there's this absence of a strong sense of community. We don't have that, you know, feeling that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Everybody's just kind of in it for themselves. And I think the movie Joker, did you watch that movie?
I did not.
Good movie with Joaquin Phoenix. Everybody should watch it.
Wait, what's it called?
Joker.
Like the Joker?
Yeah.
Like Batman Joker?
Yeah. But it was like a really unique twist on it because they were trying to illustrate the societal issue by using a comic figure. But really, you could have just taken out all like the DC universe, like the entire comic universe out of the film entirely, and it's still would have been a really compelling film.
Is it on Netflix, Hulu?
I think it's on HBO. It's on HBO for sure.
The Joker.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll watch tonight. Remind me, I'll watch tonight.
You should really watch
it. I'll watch tonight.
And tell me what you think, because
remind me to watch it, or I'm going to forget. Remind me?
Yeah, because you need reminders every
10 minutes. Thank you,
thank you. Okay. The movie was, one of the reasons the movie is really good, because it shows visually an internal pain that many people are feeling right now.
Gotcha.
They feel the Joker's feels out of place. He's suffering. He feels misunderstood. Feels abandoned by the rest of society. And that's, I think, many people feel like right now. Everybody's kind of siloed in their own world on social media and the news and YouTube and everything you go on online.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough, man.
I mean, we're all living in our own bubbles right now, right? Kind of, right?
But what happens when the bubble pops?
Well, that's when the market blows up, right? When the bubble pops.
It just keeps on growing.
I hope so.
The bubble, that is. Yeah, who knows?
Stock market.
Well, but it's difficult, man.
It's
a difficult question because we don't know.
These are all questions we aren't, like, because degreed to answer, you know?
I was listening. Well, you don't have to be degreed to, you know,
have freedom of thought.
Pedigree. Right, we can talk about these things because this is something that affects everyone. You don't need to. We're not talking about, definitely, like, finding a cure to, you know, some, you know, diabetes.
Okay, relax. That's a touch of subject.
Or cancer, right? We're not discussing something really technical here. This is something that affects each of us in this country, of course, to varying degrees and in different ways, but this question of happiness. Why is our country the most technologically sophisticated, economically superior, just resource endowed country on earth, and yet
we have so much dysfunction, disorganization? We're the most sound, though, apparently. We're the most sound with the most amount of confusion and chaos, right?
why is there so much chaos? Why are people suffering so much? Why is there so much discord in our country?
What a great question. What a great question, really. We have all the tools, we have all the resources, we have everything to be successful, but we do not know how to apply it or use it. We just don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary because you can give someone everything and they still might not be able to succeed. And that's what we see here in our society, right? Dysfunction.
It's
extremely unfortunate. Yeah. It's really depressing when you put it that way, you know. Unfortunately, like the real world is not that optimistic, right?
Dude, there are countries out there. I mean, some of the happiest people I've ever met were in Uganda. We're in a village in rural eastern Uganda.
Yeah.
People dying from diabetes, from malaria, like flies. And yet, somehow they still managed to find a way to be happy and content with their living circumstances, even though they are living amidst immense poverty, just abject poverty,
malnourishment, poverty,
immense
disease,
want.
Yep.
And yet here we have everything, and why are people so unhappy? Why do you think people aren't happy in the U.S.?
What a question. What a question. I don't know. I really couldn't pinpoint. I feel like there's so many things in play.
Okay, well, we can talk about it.
The wealth gap. Right away, that's one of the first things that I know makes people unhappy. Financials make people very unhappy.
There's a wealth gap everywhere, though.
There is, but here that has a huge play on a person's lifestyle, a play on what they can do, how much fun they can have. I put that in quotations, how much fun one can have.
Let's use Uganda as an example. People over there, also, there's a wealth gap over there as well.
Mm-hmm.
People know that there are other people who are living far better lives and they don't have to worry about, you know, these severe medical conditions.
Definitely.
That many people out in the countryside have to deal with. And yet, you know, I mean, of course, they're not, you know, they're not saying that they're in heaven, but
the simplicity of just living definitely, I think, adds what to is, that fulfillment.
Why aren't people content here with what they have?
I feel like it's too complicated to just be content.
Isn't
we don't have that simplicity where we can just live and get along and go about our day. There's a lot more to it that we have to consider to be happy or feel like we can be happy.
What is interfering with our ability to be happy right now instead of having to compare ourselves?
Well, for
to
one, COVID, we can't even get through that, even though other people were able to make the virus right. extinct.
Let's
right?
rewind before COVID.
Okay.
Like, just COVID just throws everything into
financials.
For a loop.
Financials.
Okay.
Well, we talked about health, but here, healthcare in itself is such a confusing and hard thing to get through. Staying healthy, trying to afford health, because here it is a lot of play of money, what you eat, what kind of healthcare you can get, what kind of medication you can get, how often you can get it,
right.
what kind of treatment you can get, how often you can get dialysis,
right.
for example. You know, there's a few things that, I mean, you're not going to be happy if you're suffering in pain, right?
No,
you're
yeah,
not
going
to be happy if you have a broken leg and you can't go to the doctor, right?
That's right. That's right.
So I just feel like there's so many other things that make it a lot more difficult. And just to put it in perspective, I throw out a broken leg, right? How do you think you get a broken leg? Not just from walking on the street, likely not. From skiing, snowboarding, skateboarding, maybe riding a bicycle. I don't know. Something, right?
You're hit by a car.
Right? Sure, right? But it's just crazy how it's all like a loop, right? So we almost like expect to hurt ourselves or to be unhappy or be discontent with what we're doing. Because we know there's more, we're just experimenting, if you will. And I feel like that provides that lack of fulfillment because there's so much to experiment. And it's not just simplicity of living life. I feel like that went around in a circle, but
no, okay. I
maybe hear you're hearing me.
So we just overcomplicate life.
I feel like that's part of it.
Okay, so we just have we're looking at way too many things instead of focusing on the here and now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we have to focus on so many different things, and we can't just quiet our minds Is that kind of...
Definitely. I feel like that's a good general overview.
Okay. Okay.
What do you think?
That's actually a really good point. I mean, I think that explains a lot of it. I mean, we're so focused, and social media doesn't help, and the internet doesn't help. Being plugged into the rest of the world doesn't help.
Well, it makes you compare yourself to others, and then you feel that lack of fulfillment, right? Because you see this insanity on Instagram the top 0.01% can have.
Now you have to compare yourself to this TikTok star that, you know, you never would have even met maybe in your whole life.
Exactly.
And you probably never will meet in your whole life.
Exactly.
But now you're letting this person who you don't know...
What happiness is, right?
And who doesn't know you, and you likely there will you never go. Cross paths, you are letting that person dictate
exactly.
your happiness.
Exactly. And I feel like that's part of the lack of fulfillment that people experience.
So people need to unplug themselves from social media, and they need to learn how to live in the present with just who they are, where they are. Social media is an evil. We need to get rid of it.
I feel like even if you got rid of social media, there's always Netflix, Hulu, HBO. Think about it. Reality TV or just even movies in general.
There's
a lot of comparisons just from that.
That's okay. But like, you're not watching Jersey Shore like every minute of every day. But people are always on their phones finagling, you know, whatever app they're on. And they're always looking at what's going on, what other people are doing.
Of course.
That is a problem, I think, as well.
From those kind of TV shows and movies, don't you think? Because everyone's on that fad. Everyone hears about it.
Those are always around. But ever since social media really exploded back in 2010, like the rates of suicide, rates of depression among the youth especially have skyrocketed.
Okay.
People are learning about people living halfway across the country they didn't even never even knew about before. They never would have known about before. And all of a sudden, you know, you see some guy in Ohio is looking at how, like, you know, cutting paper in L.A.
Sure, yeah.
Right. So, or some TikTok star somewhere else, and all of a sudden you start comparing yourself, or you start, you know, thinking, oh, man, I wish my life was like that, or I wish my life was a little bit more like this and a little less like that. That's a problem, for sure. Exposure, overexposure.
Yeah, but I feel like you're trying to combat the social media, but it stems from even more than just that. You know, people will post... This example just always hits me in the head, where people are like, they see it on maybe a movie, a TV show or something, like, hey, I'm going to get my friend like a dog or a cat for a Christmas gift, or for, you know, like they're in the box, they come out on the 25th of December, right? Like this animal or something, right?
Right.
It's a very cliche thing, right? I got my dog for Christmas, I got my dog for my birthday, or blah, 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 right?
Right.
And I feel like that stemmed from either movies or social media or from some famous people doing that, because it didn't just come out of people's minds, right? You don't just think of that.
Right.
And it's a very cliche thing to do now. You know, maybe that was a horrible example, but I feel like things like that are like trending. So then when you go up to Christmas on Christmas Day, you get up and you're like, oh, I don't have a dog for Christmas. You feel like, oh, I'm not as happy with this Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm missing something. Or, you know, that lack of that general gift, or, you know?
Yeah.
Like some things are just, you expect it on this because I've seen it everywhere else, right?
Right.
And I feel like that's not just social media. Like you want to attack social media, but I feel like it's more than just social media.
Yeah, no, you bring up a good point.
Maybe it's the reality TV as well, but I feel like movies also, they romanticize like certain lifestyles, obviously.
That's true.
Cars, certain luxuries.
You make it seem like you can only be happy if you are living this sort of lifestyle.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So what's the solution?
Well, that's the golden question, you know?
$1 million question, right?
Million. Gazillion dollar question.
Yeah.
How to cure happiness. Unhappiness. How to cure unhappiness.
Oh, boy. Meditation, that'd probably be a good start. Just taking the time, take inventory of what you have, what you should be grateful for. Just thanking, you know, for thanking the universe, God, whoever you pray to, for giving you what you have. That's really essential.
Definitely.
For sure. Is centering yourself or grounding yourself in the present, focusing on what you have, being grateful, expressing gratitude for that, and just worrying less about what goes on outside. That's something that's crossed my mind recently, that so much of what happens to us in life is beyond our sphere of control or influence, right?
Mm-hmm.
We stress so much about a lot of these things. Like, for instance, a lot of people are stressing out about the stimulus deal that's going to be coming up, right? Is my stress going to somehow affect
it's not.
The outcome of that?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, and so we don't talk about that enough, like in school. Like I had one of my chaplain in college was a Coast Guard officer before she became a priest, and she said in the academy they teach all these future officers that there's a circle. There are multiple concentric circles of influence that mm-hmm. you have in life or in your command as an officer. Mm-hmm. There's the core, which is the things that you control.
Okay.
Then there's a concentric ring outside of beyond that core, which is things you influence.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a third concentric ring, and those are all the things that you have neither control nor influence over.
Gotcha.
And that is the vast majority of life, like 98% of
things that are out of your control
or influence. There are things that you control, there are things that you can influence, and then there are things that you can neither control nor influence.
Gotcha.
So like you can control your attitude towards something.
Yeah.
You can influence somebody's attitude towards something, but you can't control their attitude, right?
You can't.
Like I can influence your opinion by presenting my opinion, right? By presenting new facts in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't control what you decide to do with those, with your opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can neither influence nor control. I mean, I guess I could if I like called up Ted Lieu and told him all that I thought about how he's doing in Congress.
You could put it in his head, kind of prep him, I guess.
Yeah.
But unlikely.
Right. So I guess learning how to recognize that you have very little control or influence over a lot of things in life. Most of the things in life, you neither control nor influence. So learning how to, what are the things that you can control and influence?
Well, to go off of that, it just hit me. We can't control our emotions. We'll feel how we feel. And these emotions stem from things that were out of our control anyway.
But we can control how we manage those emotions.
Correct.
You feel, these feelings, some emotions are strong, really strong, and you just feel them spontaneously.
Definitely.
You see a guy beating up an old woman, you're going to feel anger, indignation. I mean, normally, you would feel indignation if you saw that. Now, what do you do with that emotion? Do you, I guess I'm going to call the cops, or you go out there, you take a brick and bash the guy's head in, or do something, you have control over how you respond, right?
But that still doesn't change the emotion that you're going to have afterward. Like when, let's say you get accepted or rejected from your dream universities, right?
Right.
You know, crying or screaming about it afterward doesn't change what's already happened, right? So when people post like videos of crying after they got declined from their dream university, unfortunately, that doesn't change anything, right? And we're still going to feel horrible about it.
Yeah.
And it's an unfortunate situation, but we can't do anything about it at that point, right?
So what's the point of crying?
Well, you're going to feel how you want to feel, right? And crying is that first step into letting go of that emotion, right?
But the emotion stems from a mental process that you have.
Definitely.
Right? If you think to yourself, like, I can only, if I don't get into this university, my life is over. And that's how you respond, that's how you treat this one potential acceptance, and you get declined. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course your life, you're bawling your eyes out because you had this idea. But if you treat it simply like, oh, well, if I don't get into this university, I'll get into a different one. It's like treating the job process. Man, I've submitted so many job applications and gotten so many rejections back at this point that I see a rejection letter, I immediately delete it. I don't even care at this point because like, okay, another door closed.
Well, the thing right now also with that is, it's a really tough market. There's a lack of jobs as well.
You're always going to get rejections.
Exactly.
How you respond to that rejection is entirely within your control.
It defines your entire person.
Well, maybe not your entire person, but
most of it. Most of your resilience.
Right. I mean, how you treat a rejection is in your control.
Exactly. It is. But we still have that feeling of disfortune, right?
Yeah, of course. You feel, dejected.
Exactly.
Because...
And we can't change that. We can't change that. We can only manage...
I believe you can.
We can only manage...
I believe you can.
We can't change the feeling.
It depends on what you were thinking when you applied.
When you clicked apply.
That's right. If you're thinking, all right, if I get it, cool. If not, it's fine.
Yeah.
That's good. And yeah. then you, of course, you'll have a more easygoing reaction to the result.
Then if I apply and I don't get in, I'm going to...
I was like, if I don't get in...
I'm not going anywhere in life.
I'm running away from my house.
Yeah.
So a lot of this, of course, yeah, a lot of this does depend on how you perceive this. Some of the things you can control are, you know, how you respond to dilemmas that you will inevitably confront in your daily life. You can influence control your relationship with your family, with your friends, right?
Definitely.
You can influence them to a certain degree through your actions and your words.
Definitely.
And then there's everything else, which is the things you can either control or influence, right?
There's very little we can control, even in those scenarios.
Right.
With family relationships, partner relationships, friend relationships, there's very little we can control, right?
Right.
There's a lot that's out of our hands and in the other person.
Speaking of relationships, a relationship with a significant other. Do you control that significant other?
No.
No. You influence
Unfortunately,
them, right?
You can't control anything out of yourself.
Yeah, that's preach. That's the truth.
That's already enough to control.
Now, within this framework of control and influence,
mm-hmm.
What does social media play? What role does it play?
It plays that role of just, you want to compare yourself to everything. You want to compare yourself. You want to feel fulfillment. You want to be out there living that life that other people want. You want to be that spotlight.
Right.
Don't you say?
Yeah.
Because when you see it as well, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Right.
I should be in Bali or blah, blah, blah. Right. Or wherever else everyone goes.
Yeah.
Or Cancun, Cabo.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just horrible how the first instinct is to compare yourself and then put yourself in that like dream reality.
Right. So you, but it's up to you, right? To control.
Of course.
You have to learn how to control your relationship with these people who you've never met, right? How do you treat them? Do you treat them with, you know, do you have jealousy and envy towards them? Or do you just, you know, you treat them really absentmindedly. Just look at them and be like, oh, okay, that's cool. They have their own journey. You know, they're living their own life.
I mean, they're living that life. I'm living this one, right?
Right.
That's all you can do. You can swipe through and see it. But remember what you're doing, right? Remember your own path, your own journey.
Right.
Because they're doing their own thing. You're doing your own thing as well.
Right.
Don't try to follow in their footsteps or whatever else they're trying to convince you to do, right?
Right.
You want to live like me, do what I do, blah, blah, blah. No, you know?
Right.
There's some things you should take note of. There's some things you should follow in, maybe professionally or to learn from, or learn from their mistakes, maybe, things of that nature, but don't just follow their path, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to just be like someone else.
Although many people do want to do that right now.
I know. Yeah. It looks good. It looks picture perfect, right?
It never is.
On Instagram, right? Picture perfect.
Those filters really get you. At the end of the day.
There you go.
I was reading a really good article yesterday on Medium, on the platform Medium. It was entitled, Yes, My Sister's Hotter Than Me. And it's really a really interesting article. It was written by this, I'm forgetting her name. But she has a picture at the very beginning, and it's her and her fraternal twin sister.
Mm-hmm.
And they look nothing alike. And one looks like she could be a news anchor. And the other one just looks like, you know, you're just average girl, you know.
Gotcha.
And she writes about her relationship with her twin sister and how she always felt like she was in her sister's shadow.
Gotcha.
And the only reason she was popular because guys wanted to get to her sister through her.
Gotcha.
She's like the gatekeeper, so to speak.
That's horrible.
That's how she said her own words.
Gotcha.
And how she... All this, you know, this building tension came to a head one time. She had a really angry confrontation with her sister, and her sister told her that, you know, sometimes I wish I looked like you because I didn't want any of this tension. She started getting like right after puberty hit, like in middle school.
Gotcha.
Like there were teachers hitting on her. Like it was like that. It was like that awkward. So, and she's lived with this attention her whole life, and that's I think one thing people don't when I like. One thing people don't realize that sometimes these people's lives look so perfect, but we never know what's going on.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Of course, maybe they are. I mean, they definitely could be very happy and content, which is great. But just because somebody looks like they're leading a better life on the surface, doesn't mean anything. It's like I think they actually did a study about people who post more often on social media.
Have more demons or something.
Are dealing with bigger problems.
Yeah, I've seen something just like that. Right. I saw an article
just
about
that. There was a study that found a relationship between the amount of money you spend on your wedding and how long that marriage lasts. It's actually the more money you spend, the shorter your marriage,
the less it lasts.
And this is epitomized by Kim Kardashian's marriage to
Kanye West.
No, the guy before Kanye.
I don't know.
The basketball star, they got married like when we were in high school.
Dude, I don't know.
The marriage lasted 3 months, and the wedding was like cost over like $2 million.
What was it?
Blake Griffin, was it? Or
I don't. I couldn't tell you even if I wanted to. I see those things in the news, and I wonder. I really wonder. At what point will I care that that's in the news? I see some of the news already and think, who cares about this? But when I hear about people's weddings or a baby's on the way, there are babies on the way every day. Every day there's another baby on the way, right?
Every second there's a baby
being born. Every second. And you're telling me about this low-life famous couple. This C-rated movie actor couple. Do you really think I care? Do you think I care? I'd rather see my friends.
There are millions of fanboys and fangirls who do care.
I'd rather see my friends. Babies being born thing
I
on
think
the news.
I applaud you for having the right, in my opinion,
it's
attitude.
So annoying. They think I care.
But
they
those tabloids, they want to feed you. They want to keep feeding you this
stuff. The people who work for these magazine companies that put these faces of these people that when they're like on a secret trip in Mexico something like
Brad Pitt caught in another
leave
affair.
Leave them alone. Dude, leave them alone. I don't care.
It's crazy that they're...
I don't care anyway. When they say, oh, this actor really let themselves go, I could care less. Let them live their life, dude. Them live in peace.
It's crazy.
Give them some privacy,
There are people who have devoted their whole lives to following celebrities
it's
around.
It's disgusting. Disgusting.
It's tragic.
I understand paparazzi to a point where it's like, oh, they're showing up to a gala or some big 5-star event, right?
But it's not. It's never
leave
just that.
Leave them alone.
It's like
them alone.
It's like having a private. These guys are private investigators. All they're doing is following this person around.
I've seen Justin Bieber on like these things that would show up in my YouTube recommended, where it's like Justin Bieber gets into an argument with one of the guys who's following him around,
right,
with a camera, and he says, like, leave me alone, dude. Like, please. Yeah. Like, I'm just trying to go shop. Like, leave me alone. Please, for five minutes.
There was an actor, I think it was Daniel Radcliffe, the Harry Potter guy.
Yeah.
Who, to combat this issue, he would wear the same clothes every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And so the photographers couldn't use the photos because it would be looking like, for every article, they'd be using the same.
That's genius. That's
so genius. So the paparazzi stopped following him around because they couldn't, you know, show the same photo of the guy wearing the same clothes every single
time.
Even
if it's timestamped, they're going to think it's fake.
Exactly.
Photoshopped a new timestamp.
So genius.
That is genius.
That actor's part, right?
Very good. Just leave them alone. I honestly don't care about what they're doing on the weekends, weekday. I don't care. Don't post it. I don't care.
But people... But that brings us to another question, though. People are living vicariously through these
But these
actors.
People are obviously unhappy with you following them around, giving them zero privacy.
Well...
when does it stop for them? I really do feel bad for them. They wanted to be on a movie. They wanted to be actors, right? They got what they wanted. Maybe the fame was cool. But at a certain point, it's like, they've said, leave me alone. Like, please leave me alone. Like, you're driving me insane. Like, I can't pee without knowing that there's a camera staring at me. Leave them alone. I don't care.
Capturing
I don't want to see them.
Every
peeing.
Image of them.
I don't want to see.
Every second.
Do you want to see that? Do you want to see that on ABC 7 LA News?
I'm sure some girls would love to see Brad Pitt.
Dude.
Urinating.
At a certain point, it's like, enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah. It's certainly.
It's worrisome.
It is
for
worrisome.
Our society.
But people are living vicariously through these actors, through these celebrities, and not just even actors, just people like young people like our age who are famous on TikTok and stuff like, or Instagram or OnlyFans or whatever the hell. So people are living vicariously through them because those people are living the lifestyle that they wish they had, which leads us back to the question of contentment. Being content with what you have. If you're not content with what you have, of course you're going to be watching and trying to
live vicariously through others.
Live vicariously through these.
Through the camera. Living through the camera.
Yeah. You feel like you're there with them, right?
Pretty much.
Even though you're not, and you likely never will, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
I mean, some people really can't handle wealth. And wealth, to that degree, isn't for everybody. You know,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, people, I think, also don't realize just how heavy of a responsibility that is to have that much money.
How much weight comes with some of that.
Having all these cameras pointed at you all 24/7.
Well, even if you're a low-key millionaire, whatever you are.
Low-key billionaire.
Low-key billionaire, whatever it is. You know, people will try to take that away from you as well. Yeah, people will be targeting you for anything as well.
Yeah, the more you have, the more people want to take it away from you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't want to see me winning, right?
That's right.
They don't. And everyone's going to try to take it away from you.
Yeah, not.
So you're fighting your own battles regardless. Remember that. You're always fighting a battle.
Right. Yeah, you got to just, be happy with what you have. I personally don't want to be, I'm not everybody, but I'm sure there are other people like me where you don't really want that much wealth, because with more money, you know, the old saying, more money you have, the more problems
you have. More problems, yeah.
So, of course, some people enjoy having that, are capable of having that much money. They can withstand the pressure of having a lot of money, and the responsibilities associated with that. But, I got people like me can't, so.
There will be a lot of discussion and disagreement with that kind of comment, Luke. Remember that. They're going to come for you with that.
You know,
like, when's it ever a bad thing to have more money than you need?
Right. The capitalist.
Yep.
It's important to be content with what you got, right?
Yeah.
Gotta focus on your life, on the things that you can improve in your life. Just cut out the rest of the world. One of the things that when I was in Barcelona, I was talking to a physician who was studying at their Institute of Global Health, and he said one of the most important things that anybody can do to improve their mental health, like right now, is to stop watching news about things going on in any other country other than the one you're in.
Really?
He said recommended just reading local news. Like, that's it. Because that's the stuff that's actually affecting you. Like, how is the crisis in Yemen actually going to, how is it going to help?
But you're always going to hear about it, even in your local news, right?
Of course. Yeah,
okay. You're going to hear about it.
Well, if they're doing a fundraising drive, that's one thing. But, like, if you're reading about, like, the coup in Myanmar, for instance, like, which happened, like, in the last 2 weeks. It's tragic that there's a military coup in Myanmar and that democracy is being trampled by the military. But what are you going to do unless you go over there and start fighting,
What am I going to do? Start through my iPhone 8, right? What am I going to do?
All these news are never about, like, the news is never about good stuff going on, right? They're never covering, like, something uplifting happening.
On the
international stage, it's rarely anything good. Yeah. So all you're doing is just adding more and more stress to your mind.
Definitely.
You don't need that extra baggage.
It's putting
baggage.
You in a worse state of mind, for sure. Because you see less hope with all the horrible things going on around you.
Exactly. That's why I don't read the news in the morning anymore. Because
you read it at night.
It's such a terrible way to... Yeah, sorry.
I got you there.
Terrible way to...
Because I know you like to stay informed, though. It's really powerful to stay informed.
Yeah, I personally like to stay informed of what's going on in different countries. The average American doesn't need to know what the hell is going on in different countries. Except the countries that we're waging wars in, of course.
That's
important, Knowing that Biden, the Uncle Joe, sent back all the troops that we withdrew from Syria
instantly.
The day after he took office.
Instantly, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And another endless war that we keep fomenting. So stop reading the news. Just got to stop reading the news. Got to stop watching social media so closely. Just live your life, right? Just focus on what you got. Focus on improving yourself gradually.
Definitely.
Through meditation, through reading, through just
whatever brings you joy. Yeah.
Doing the things that make you happy. And not stressing out about what's going on beyond the sphere of your control and influence.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the rest,
should come naturally.
What's going on in Myanmar has absolutely nothing to do with you. And it likely never will. Right? These things are never going to influence you. So why stress out about them, Life is hard enough as it is to start thinking about the problems of other people.
That's a little hypocritical from what we were trying. We want to help those in our local communities, right?
Sorry.
Maybe that's where you want to just put
that. The people outside of your community, your local community, your national community.
Because it's easy to help your community.
Yeah, there are some people who say that we're all part of the same, the human community. But
yeah.
Of course, yes, there are some...
Geographically, it's easier to help those in your nearby community, right?
Right. And those are the people we should be focused on.
If everyone helped those in their own community, we'd all be...
If we just...
Thriving and striving together, right? If we were helping those around us,
As Mahatma Gandhi once said, be the change you want to see in the world. And as our dearly beloved Michael Jackson used to say, look in the mirror and change yourself. I'm paraphrasing there. I don't know if that's exactly.
Close enough, right? Close enough.
Just look at yourself. What? Wait, crap. What's the song? The Man in the Mirror. There we go.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm talking about the man in the mirror. Ooh, I'm asking him to make a change. So, be the change you want to see in the world, right?
Yep.
Focus on your community. Work on improving yourself. All right. If there's a humanitarian crisis overseas, yeah, definitely give to charity. Yeah, support yep. support each other. Support like the people in Texas right now. You know, we're all part of the same country. We all got to support each other. So, yeah. So, what question are we going to leave our audience with?
Well, I think we should leave them with something about controlling their own happiness, right?
Yeah. What is the key to your happiness?
What is the key to your own happiness?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a while. Really think about it.
Yeah.
Don't just scratch the surface.
Right, right.
Get deep in there and understand what will give you fulfillment.
Or better yet, ask yourself, why are you unhappy?
Very poetic. I like it.
My man.
There you go.
So we'll leave you, our faithful audience, with that final question. Why are you unhappy, and what can you do to fix it? All right. Stay safe. Stay warm, everybody.
It's been Luke and Ferris. It is 9:47 p.m. That's PST.
Right. And that's we'll see you next time.
Off. Yeah.